Well, hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us. It is good to be with you. I hope that you are having a great day today. I hope the day itself is good for you. It's a little cloudy and cool today, but still a wonderful day. But, you know, more than the weather, I hope that your life circumstances are good, that it's a good day for you just in your life. And most of all, even beyond the circumstances, I hope it's a good day for you spiritually. That you are walking with the Lord, that you're experiencing His closeness. You know the joy of having fellowship with Him. And I hope our time together here today helps you in that. I always look forward to these times. They're a blessing for us. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But again, more than anyone, we want to thank our Lord. He loves us enough to want to talk to us. He's given us this time. He's given us His Word. And by His Spirit, He's present and wants to speak to us, me while I'm here and you while you're watching it. And so as we begin this time, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for this day that You have given to us. Lord, just the beauty of it physically. Oh, Lord God, how You're with us in our circumstances. And Father God, we thank You, oh Lord, for who You are. We praise You and we thank You, oh God, that You want us to know You. Open our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to hear from You. Help us to grow closer to You in this time, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open God's Word today and we come to Psalm 134, I want you to think about the next time that you have to go to be with the Lord in corporate worship. That'll probably be next Sunday, and I realize it's several days away from at least when I'm filming this and probably from when you're watching it. But I want you to think about getting the most out of that time of corporate worship, being able to draw together with other believers, and I hope that you're physically able to do so. And if you're not, I hope you take advantage of other means. But certainly, if you're able to go to worship, I want you to think about what you need to do in order to prepare for that time. We will, and we'll comment on this many times, get exactly out of worship what we put into it or what we expect to get from it. As we open God's Word to Psalm 134, we come to the last of the songs of ascents, that is the songs that the Jewish people would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem to worship. And as we come to this last one, this 134th Psalm, they, the Jewish people, so to speak, the pilgrims, those going to worship, they're there. And I want us to think about their mindset and their heart as they're there. Because as we look at them, we analyze them as they're there in this time of worship, we see what we need to do to prepare for worship. And so look with me at this psalm, and it's a short psalm. It's only 3 verses long. And yet it's wonderful in its truths and about preparing ourselves for worship. Psalm 134. Behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. How do we get the most out of worship? What is it that we need to be doing right now to get ready for the next opportunity that we have for corporate worship? Well, the first one, and this might seem to be obvious, but it might be so obvious that it needs to be stated, we attend. We actually go. Again, you think about verse 1, behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. You think about it. They, the pilgrims, those who have gone up to worship, they're there. The various priests and Levites who were working in the temple, they're in fact there. They had to be there to truly experience this wonderful time of worship. It's the same for us to be blessed by corporate worship if we're able to go, and I hope that you are, and if not, then take advantage of other opportunities on the internet. Maybe your local fellowship has services that they broadcast or rebroadcast. But if you're able to go, we need to make the decision right now that we're actually going to go and that needs to be the priority for us as we plan our week. You think about what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. And understand the background of the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew believers were beginning to come under pressure, persecution. As a result of that, some of them were beginning to hang back from going to corporate worship because of the pressure they were under. But you think about what the inspired writer of Hebrews wrote. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Did you see what it said? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, make plans, in fact, to go. We need to understand just how important corporate worship is. Yes, we are called to an individual walk in relationship with God. But though it is individual, it is not isolated. It's in fact interconnected with other believers. You think about the model or the picture of the church being the body and the various members of the body coming together to be a whole, to be stronger, to be able to function. We need to plan, in fact, to attend, to be part of the corporate worship. But not only do we need to attend, but we need to focus. You think again, verse 1, behold, bless the Lord, all servants of the Lord, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. You know, it's not enough to physically go to worship. We have to go to worship wanting to see him, wanting to meet with him, seeking him. Again, you think about verse 1, bless the Lord. The whole focus was on him. You think about the last time that you went to worship. Was the Lord really your focus? You know, one reason, a major reason, we don't always experience the Lord in worship is that, quite frankly, we didn't go there looking for him. We may have gone just so we could check off that we had been there, go there so we could say we did it, go there so, you know, we can tell ourselves that we did it, but really didn't go to seek the Lord. Now, you know, God in his grace many times will work in spite of us instead of, you know, because of us. But if we go to hear from the Lord, it's almost invariably that we will. No one else there may, but, you know, we can in fact hear from him. He'll speak if we seek him. And so we need to attend, but we actually also need to focus on him. And part of that focusing is number 3, we pray. You think about verse 2, lift up your hands to the sanctuary. We actually seek the Lord in prayer. You know, worship is not a spectator sport where we simply watch the people up front if we're, you know, sitting in the pew, if we're not one of those individuals up on the platform, so to speak. We actually need to be, in fact, in prayer. Even, you know, when a soloist is singing or the choir is singing, certainly be listening to the music, worshiping through that, but our heart needs to, in fact, be praying unto the Lord. You know, frankly, one of my favorite times in the worship service is the offering, is the offertory. Not because of the money being collected for the church, but because that's usually a time in most church services where it's quiet, where it's still. The pianist may be playing some, you know, very reverential, worshipful piece. And your whole nothing is distracting, and you can simply seek the Lord in prayer. Talk to him, listen to him, just meet with him. We need to be seeking the Lord in prayer if we're truly going to get the most out of worship. But then look what else we see. We praise. Latter part of verse 2, and bless the Lord. That means to praise him, to worship him, to adore him, to give thanks to him. You think about who he is. We've commented on this before, like the song several years ago, Because of Who You Are. But then on top of that, you think about all that he has done. You think about all that he's done for you. What a wonderful God we have, and how we ought to turn and praise him. You know, if all we did for the solid duration of a worship service, however long that may be for you and your fellowship, we could literally spend every moment of that worship service not doing anything but praising the Lord. within our heart. And you know what? However long that worship service was, it would never be enough. We would never get to the end of all that we have to praise our Lord for. And if we truly want to encounter God, meet with Him, we in fact need to praise Him. But then notice, lastly, number five, we trust. Look again at verse 3. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. Seeking God's favor was based on the confidence that He would in fact give it, and that there's nothing that He cannot do. You think about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You think about Psalm 115, 3 that we've quoted many times. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases. Worship, genuine worship, is not to provide an escape from problems or life or the world situation. It's not to somehow distract us or take our mind off of those things. It's to cause us to turn our heart toward the God who is sovereign, who rules and reigns and works on behalf of His people. And in fact, it completely changes our viewpoint so that we can in fact entrust all of it to Him and leave that worship service in the joy, the strength, and the confidence of knowing that our Father's in control and that He will work and He will move. Worship is not an escape from our problems. It's where we go to meet with the One who can solve them and gloriously solve them. And as we're there in that worship service, it needs to be time where we, by trust, meet with our Lord. And yes, give Him all those things and be able to leave there resting, knowing that He was in complete control. You think about these worshipers. We commented way back as we began the Song of Ascents, as you know, all the dangers and things they had to go through, the world situation that they lived in and that we face. This God that they were going to meet is the One who could handle it all. This God who we'll be meeting with the next time that we're with our respective fellowships is the God who can handle it. And we need to trust Him. You know, it's obvious these worshipers, they had a great time of worship. It's also obvious they were prepared for it. You think again about the next time that your fellowship has to worship. First of all, will you go, as we saw that first point, but will you truly worship? Will you truly meet with this God? And when you leave there, will you know that you've met with Him and that you're strengthened, lifted up, and able to trust Him? Will you prepare for worship? Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, Your love and Your greatness. Thank You for the time of worship that You gave us, Lord, this past time and Sunday. Lord, prepare us for the next time of worship. May we truly worship and meet with You is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope, yes, that you prepare for a time of worship with your fellowship. But I hope that today, in fact, is a day of worship for you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord, as you experience Him. And I hope by walking in Him that you do have a great day in Him.